The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. My name is Greg Bakken. And before we get going, I just wanted to say thank you to the folks who put together Minnesota Paraconnection Expo 2023 in St. Cloud over the past weekend. Russ and Stephanie and Jerry, and I know there's more beyond that, and Mark. Thank you all so much for making us feel so welcome. Had great food out there, had a lot of people come out and talk to us, and it was just a lot of fun. And it was just a nice, fun and relaxing and welcoming experience. And for those who weren't able to make it this time around, I know they're going to do another one next year. Hopefully we'll be a part of it again next year because it was really cool. And we did our Char Savoy and I did our presentation on the Grant House. And I'm going to be honest, that was a fantastic presentation. There are people there who, I'll be honest, I know for years have always been skeptical. I mean, and that's fair to be skeptical in the paranormal about paranormal stuff. It is completely fair to do so. And they were very impressed by the presentation and the evidence, that recordings that we provided. It was a great weekend. And once again, I wanted to thank everybody for making us feel so welcome and taking the time and coming by and saying hi. So it's a big week for us this week. We have a lot of stuff going on here. Once again, Wednesday is Ghost Stories and Beyond over at Billy's Bar and Grill. We're going to have Tom Maurer on. He's going to be there live at Billy's. MUFON, a Mutual UFO Network. He's going to be talking about aliens, UAPs, all that wonderful stuff. And if you have questions, come on out. Say hello. $10 to get in. It is going to be a fantastic evening, plus good food, you know, and just good people are going to be there. If you're thinking about coming out there, go ahead, come on out, say hi. We'd love to see you there. And then, of course, the advanced screening tickets are over now for The Exorcist, but that comes out Friday. A bunch of us are going to go see it tomorrow. Advanced screening for the film. Really excited for it. So, like, just a lot of stuff going on, which is, you know, what's wrong with that? It's really cool. In fact, I just got done teaching class with Char of we do a paranormal class, and it's, you know, it's just nonstop. I hope things are going well for everybody because it's busy for us over here, that's for sure. And 'tis the season. It's October. Spooky season has arrived. Now, I am very excited for our guest tonight. I had been admiring her work for a long time. She is a very gifted person on many levels, and I'm really excited to bring her on. Angela Boley is a psychic portrait artist and paranormal investigator born and raised in Ohio. After dying in the emergency room and coming back fully healed and alive after being deceased for over 30 minutes at the age of 5, she started hearing and seeing spirits. Today, she paints portraits of spirits she sees and paints what they want to communicate. She gives private readings at various psychic fairs, but can pick up spirits from photos and by remote viewing as well. Once again, a very talented person. Angela, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just so happy to be here.
I am happy that you are here too. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I was really excited about, I don't know if you remember, because you did a number of these a long time ago, a couple of years ago, when you were doing Unexplained Cases with Rick Garner, and Miriam was on there, and you, I was a guest on there one night, and you actually did a portrait for me, an animal. Yes. And do you remember what that was?
A bear.
Wow, you do remember. Did you look that up beforehand, or is that just because this is Angela Boley talking, and she just knows this stuff?
Yes, I'm usually... I have a good memory.
That's pretty incredible. And that was really, really cool to see that and to kind of... Because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what you're going to draw and everything else. And throughout the whole program, you're just working away. You're just working away and drawing something. And is that easy for you to do? And we're going to get more into what all this is in a bit. But I'm just curious, as far as that was concerned, and you're just – and it's not like a bear I would draw that would look like, you know, it's like a kindergarten drawing it. Your bear looked like a bear. It was beautiful. It's a piece of art, let alone that it had very specialized meaning to it. In that kind of situation where you had to do it really fast, is that easy for you to do? I mean, are you even in control at that point?
Well, it is fairly easy, and it isn't. What I like to do is like to get out of my own way, so I just flow with the intuition. So whatever energy I'm picking up, and the images, it's almost like I download the image, and then I create it, and then it's just out through my hands. Sometimes it is channeling, where the spirit is actually taking over my hands and picking out the colors, and I have no idea what I'm painting or drawing ahead of time, or even while I'm doing it. And then when it's done, an image appears. And I usually am astonished sometimes at how it comes out, just using the intuition, just painting, just based on the energy, what I'm feeling, and what moves through my hands and through my mind, through my third eye.
Do you think of that the same way, that gift, the same way that people do automatic writing? Is that similar in a sense sometimes?
It's similar, but they also have all the clear. So while I'm painting, that spirit will be giving me feedback. I can hear them speaking, and they'll be giving me messages. And when I do paintings in the psychic fairs, and usually a painting will take 15 or 20 minutes, that spirit will start speaking as I'm painting, and then I'll start relaying the messages and the images that I'm seeing. And that usually resonates with the person that I'm seated for to, you know, such a degree. Sometimes they cry, so they have very strong emotions. That's something that is just flows through me now, and it almost gets better as I get tired. But I have to say is, you know, people have been very impressed. They're incredibly impressed with the accuracy and the validity and how much it correlates with people that they have known in their lives who have passed on, their past lives, experiences, the synchronicities that it coincides with, that there's in their lives. And I'm just feel like I'm just along for the ride. I'm just passing along what I'm hearing and seeing and feeling and expressing it and just being that open channel. And just like a piece of equipment, that's an open channel.
You're a conduit, basically.
Yes. Right?
And so it's what I just find it very, very interesting that, you know, an artist has a specific style, you know, generally. Do you look at the stuff that you create, the paintings? And for those of you who are listening on the radio, I know this is a radio show, but if you're able to either now or later, come check out our video of this, because we're going to be showing some of these paintings here in the next segment or two. But do you look at some of those brush strokes and you're like, that's not me?
Yes. Some of the styles are radically different from one painting to another. And it's based on what that spirit is communicating. And sometimes the spirit will actually want a specific artistic style that is going along in the synchronicity of the message that they are giving. For example, the one I did with, of course, we'll might see this later, with the woman, the beautiful woman, she had a kind of a blue face, and her hair became a waterfall, and there was a peacock on one side, and you see her hair turning into water as it flowed into the water, and there was a starfish there. And it was that style. It was that very abstract, very, as I said, spiritual, otherworldly style to that.
Is this it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the style that she dictated to me. And it's not, it's kind of flows into a dreamlike quality to the artwork, and that's something that she wanted to bring forth. And other ones will be, you know, some will be very realistic, and others will not be. It really depends on the individual spirit that's coming through and the message that they have. And that particular one, that spirit guide was this individual's deceased mother, who looked, not only looked like that, but she loved water. She loved water. Mm-hmm. And this is, they don't tell me anything. I just go by a photograph. They give me a photograph and I pick up the energy from the photograph. She loved water. And she was talking about going through a spiritual awakening for this person. That's the symbol of the peacock. And then also with the starfish, with its ability to regenerate itself. And she was bringing that in and that imagery in. And this person validated all of that, all of those messages, because he told me nothing. I just got a picture of him, and this is what the energy I was picking up with. And she said, have my hair turn into water as it's coming down. So you see the waves of water, and you see the peacock, and also the starfish, because she wanted to communicate a spiritual awakening as represented by the peacock, and then the regeneration of the self with the starfish. Is you cut a starfish apart, it regenerates its own limbs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense, obviously. The detail, like in the feathers and stuff, is pretty incredible. What was the purpose of the painting? What was the message she wanted to get out there?
She wanted to get a message of, one, she is a spirit guide. She's now transitioned to spirit. She's looking out for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And she's validating who she is, but not giving me who she actually is, how she's related, just giving hints, hair into the water, that beautiful face, the colors.
Yeah.
There's the kind of things that she likes. She's validating her identity. And then the message, like, she is leading this person, leading her son into the spiritual awakening because of this afterlife contact. This is contact from her, from the other side, now that she's deceased and out of body, explaining to him, this is going to be, this experience is part of your spiritual awakening. I'm going to lead you there. And she was letting him know that she's going to lead him to the spiritual awakening, but he was going to be a different person when she was done, and just trust the process, just trust her through this process. And it'll be quite an experience. And anytime you have a spiritual awakening, you could lose friends. You have your perspective is completely turned upside down, and because it totally blows out of water every form of conventional thinking that you ever thought, it flips everything on its head.
Do you think there's going to be a part two to this painting?
Pardon?
A part two, like a second painting or something?
No, it's just simply that, and I ship that out to the person, and with the painting, I mean, you meditate on that image,
yeah,
and that person, that spirit guide, come through to you in your meditation and reveal more. This is just the beginning. And now he would be open to experiencing her and whatever messages that she's sending to him, and learning to recognize those messages and signs. And if he wants another, he would please come back. And if she feels led to communicate more in depth with some other image or messages for him, then she will probably prompt him to come back to me.
So the painting itself can open up more communication.
Yes.
That's interesting. It's like you're building a little, you're almost building a little, it's so cise to say it this way, but like a, not a telephone, but you're just almost like a gateway in a sense.
Yes, and connection. And because that's a spiritual message that was meant from your spirit guide to your soul in particular. And your soul is going to keep resonating with that image. So as long as you're making that connection with your soul, you're making that connection with your guide, and you can use that image to make the connection with the spirit realm or with your spirit guides.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I'm going to go to break here in a couple minutes, but how do you know, how did you know when that painting was done? Did she say to you, this is good? Like, she's like, that we're done now.
She actually, what the spirits do, they see the finished product before I'm done painting.
Right.
So they actually come to me before it's done and say, you did a great job, and I'm not even finished with it yet. And then once I am done, and because they will show me what it's supposed to look like towards the end, what the final product should look like.
You it's like you have a natural finish. It's all been foreseen by them.
Yes.
And you, when you're done, you're done. You don't have to second guess it, because you know that it's all in your hands. It was in their hands. It's done when it's done.
That's right.
I got it. So I think what I'm going to want to do right now is I think I'm going to go ahead. We're going to take our first break. We have some questions in the chat room that is just on the same line of questioning I was going to give. So we're on the same page. We got some more paintings to show. We have a lot more to learn about with Angela. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. I have the extreme pleasure of having on psychic portrait artist and so much more, Angela Boley. Thank you again for being a part of the program tonight. Like I said, I have been wanting to have you on for a very long time, so I have just been thrilled that you have consented to be here tonight.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, then that makes two of us, doesn't it? We're a very thrilled audience tonight too, and there's a lot of folks writing stuff into the comments. Before Joshua has a couple questions, which were questions I was going to ask anyway, so we're on the same page. But before we get to that, I'm just kind of reading through here very much. Okay, so Barbara did get a painting from you, it sounds like, because she put more into the comments. We'll talk about that in a second. I don't even need to be here tonight. Everyone's asking questions. There's no need for me. And there's people out there going, yay. Angela, Joshua asked the question, is curious how you discovered your talent, also what sparked your interest in the dead. Now, I'm going to add on to that, because what I thought was very interesting in your bio, you had said that you had died at the age of 5, that you were dead for 30 minutes, and you came back. But what I think is really interesting about that statement is that you said that you were healed. So what happened there?
I had accidentally eaten every aspirin bottle of aspirin.
Oh, boy.
And I was bleeding to death through my stomach. And I was vomiting blood. And then I was rushed to the emergency room. And they had a pediatric unit at the time. And they kept bringing me small trays to vomit blood in over and, you know, over and over again, kept vomiting blood. And the doctor said, if she doesn't get blood, she is going to die. And the nurse left to check on blood supply. She came back and said there wasn't any blood left in the blood supplies. And
Oh, wow. The
doctor simply announced to my parents that I was going to die. And I did go into shock. I got severe cold at the end, and I was laid down on the table. They put a blanket over me. I had no idea why they put a blanket over me. I didn't know what death was.
Because you didn't know you died. You didn't know what death was. You didn't know you died.
No, I didn't know.
Got it.
And I experienced going through a tunnel of cobwebs. That's the best way I could describe it. It was gray, like you're going through something kind of grayish. And when I got to the end of the tunnel, I could see through the blanket, and I could also see a sunbeam shining through the ceiling. And I went up through the sunbeam. And some doesn't shine through ceilings. I wonder what was happening, but I was floating up through the sunbeam. I saw all the other floors, and then I saw the hospital roof beneath my feet. I saw it was heading towards a very great light, and I wonder, is this the sun? And I look over at the sun was actually dim compared to the light I was going to. The light was much bigger in the sky. And I went into that light. And as soon as I was in it, I felt warmth. I felt love, this peace, and that this light was conscious. So this was a conscious being that is intelligence, that is beyond any of our capability, and I recognize it as the source of everything, like the source of all good, all order, all love. And while I was in that light, that light spoke to me. And out of that light was a voice that said, your body is made of small structures that people call cells. I'm repairing every single one of them, and I'm sending you back. And that I did the reverse. I went down the sunbeam, down to the roof of the hospital, down through all the floors. And then I saw my body under the blanket. And that was very jarring to me. It really rattled me. I didn't know why I was separate, why my body and me would be separate.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, this body is just a thing I occupy, like a suit or a car you mm-hmm. get into. And I floated over my body, and I lined up with my body as best I could, and I heard that voice say, get up, get up, get up. And on the third time, I literally leaped off the table. And the doctor asked permission to reexamine me because they had just been waiting for the coroner to come get my body. And the doctor had just informed my parents that he had contacted the coroner, and he didn't know when the coroner was going to arrive. It could be minutes, could be hours. And he asked permission to reexamine me. So he reexamined me, and he said not only is she fully recovered, but she's in better health than the average child her age.
And a child, a five-year-old, doesn't know the word cell. You know, yeah. It's like these are words that you were learning, and it's kind of, I suppose that would be your first download in a sense, right?
Yes.
The thing is, too, is that you have, you know, we hear a lot about near-death experiences, stuff like that. I'm certainly not saying that they aren't real, that it's not my place to do so. But what you have your encounter when you're experiencing it. Meanwhile, you have doctors that were able to actually, they have their own evidence to how long you were dead for. I mean, you could, I mean, not that you need to, but you have the backup to all this.
Right. From my medical records, I found an actual note that said, recommend cause of death, bleeding through the stomach. That was written in 1979.
Wow. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, what Joshua also is asking, and I'm fully part of that too, you know, obviously that's, as you said, that's when your gifts started.
Mm-hmm.
When did it start to become something where you knew that this was your purpose?
As I got older and was in my 30s, about my mid-30s or so, and when paranormal investigation became popular, and it became more acceptable to deal with psychics or to use psychics in paranormal investigation. Because at the time, when I first had the psychic abilities, when I was young, and even through my 20s, it was all of the devil, it's all demonic, it's, you know, or it's not real. And if you had past lives or any of that, it was just a bunk or whatever. And people would laugh at you and reject you. But as it became more widespread, and of course, I'm just telling people this much of the time, but people wouldn't believe me, or they'd make fun of me until I would do a reading, and then their jaws would drop. Then when I finally got into a paranormal group and started doing investigations, I thought, I can't be like those psychics on TV. And then once I got onto the paranormal group and went to my first paranormal investigation, I hit everything on the head without even knowing what address I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the history of the home, I walked in, and I actually felt like I was being pulled back in time, but it felt like an ocean undertow being pulled back. And I kept seeing the house reverting to the 1940s. I saw 40s appliances. I saw a woman in the kitchen and middle age. I described her dress and her husband, who wore a hat and smoked. I picked up on that they were married and had no kids, that they were kind of in their middle age range. And They had a cat, and the husband, you know. I went into that, and I picked up on other things in the house, a great shadow of people and things like that. And it seems like he's validating this. When it came through, the caseworker came out and said this original structure of the house was built in the 1940s, and there was a man and a woman there, middle ages, and, you know, with the husband, he wore a hat and he smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife, they had no kids. you know, I went down the list, and it was just like their dog, also the owner's dog, would point. In fact, they had several dogs, but the one dog would just point in the kitchen like he was a bird dog. And he wasn't. Okay. But he was pointing in the exact spot where I said the woman is standing. The exact spot is where he was pointing. He had photographs of this. Everything was validated. And my abilities were validated.
Absolutely.
And then on the next time around, I started to paint the portrait of the spirits that would come visit. Because if they knew I was coming, they would visit me and reach out to me. And the next one was at OSU campus area. And they have campus housing. And the spirit came to me and he looked skeletal. And he had his bones in a garbage bag, and he was pushing his face through the garbage bags and floating over my face. But the feeling I was getting him, it was not at all scary, was that he was a very jovial man. He was a very friendly person. I kept getting this friendly energy, and he liked to drink, and he was talking to me. He was quite talkative throughout driving and getting there, and I did his portrait as he looked like, as he appeared to me. I brought it to the location. The person living there said, I've seen this person. And the other psychic said, we've seen him in the basement. And he had given me his name before I got there. I said, is it Nathaniel David or David Nathaniel? And he clarified that. His voice came through the voice box, Nathaniel David.
Wow. Wow. So with the artistic side of it, Were you artistic before you started using that ability to actually have spirit speak to you?
Yes, as a kid, I drew on my mother's walls. She did not appreciate that, but I was constantly drawing, painting all the time. And even my first day of kindergarten, when I went to school, I told my parents, "I'm going to be an artist."
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are indeed. Do you want to take a look at some of your stuff here?
Sure.
Let's see here. Where do we start? We started with something nice, but there's some, I'm going to be honest, there are some that are a little frightening looking.
Yes.
I want to show this one first. This one is a skeletal figure. It's very red. The whole picture is very red, but it looks like, and maybe I shouldn't be telling because it's not my work, but it looks like a cityscape behind it with is that like a eclipse or something?
It's a sun that's black as sackcloth, as the Bible says. So it's very apocalyptic feel.
Yeah.
You have this black sun and with red light emanating from it on a cityscape, and it's reflecting on the water. And then you have these entities that are skeletal in appearance, but their limbs are abnormally long. Their knees are backwards. Their elbows are in their joints at the wrong places. Their hands and their feet are extremely long, and they look like corpses, skeletal corpses. There's a bunch of them on the seashore. And these entities had came to me, and they told me that this world was so filled with hate. Especially this, they came to me during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And particularly when there was a debate over the vaccine issue, and there were people that were riled up on both sides of that issue to the point where they were kind of exploding in anger and outrage. And these things feed off of hate. They said, we feed off of this hate. We feed off this anger. And now we have grown so powerful, we don't care who sees us, paint our portraits. And I painted them. And I told people when I posted this, the whole reason behind this is if you just be kind, you don't have these things ruling over you. Otherwise, if you're going to give in to that hate, you're going to have things like this is going to be using that energy against you and even could potentially take control of you.
It's the stuff of nightmares, quite frankly, which I guess that's kind of the point. Would you say that this is clearly a picture of hate itself?
Yes, I say it's hate, but these are, it's not a picture of hate, the ugliness of hate. People become something that they're not, to the point, not human or not recognizable as human anymore. because they're so consumed by their hatred. And these entities live off of that energy.
Yeah.
And I had other people comment when I posted that they had seen very similar entities that visit them, and in apparitions have seen these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wake up call, I think, when you look at it, when you hear the meaning behind it. It is a wake up call because, and this show is not about politics. The show is not about one side versus the other. But I think the message that you're conveying, and correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. You're feeding into the machine, and the machine is getting stronger, and we don't want that.
Exactly.
Well, you ruined my evening with that. Let's try something a little bit more more fun, or maybe not fun, but lighter. Of course, I don't know the meaning behind these, so I could put up something with pastel colors, and you're going to be like, "Oh yeah, that's the apocalyptic purple that's going to destroy us all." let's see here. Is there one you want me to take a look at here?
I think Barbara was going on. Barbara's was talking about in the chat room about how the painting that I sent her was so much, so detailed that I could not have possibly have known about her husband.
Yep.
And also about when she was a child killing a parakeet. And I'm not sure if it's in one of the paintings that I sent to you on Messenger or not. I'm hoping that it is. But if it is, it's the one with the angel with flame holding a flaming sword.
I think let me just take a look here real fast. And I've gotten Barbara's husband through Spirit Box also, as it happens.
Yes, and her husband actually, there he is. Her husband actually validated his presence at my house with paranormal phenomenon as well.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
Okay, so this painting, the angel is Barb's spirit guide. He's the guardian of the blue violet flame, which is a healing energy that's both mercy and protective. And you can see he's a guardian angel. He's got a flaming sword. He's got an axe. But if you look on his chest, that originally was trying to do a flame. Well, her husband would not let me paint any other shape than that. And that turns out to be the exact shape of a samurai helmet. It had an accessory or had a decoration on the side of it.
Okay.
That was that exact same shape I knew nothing about. And with the parakeet there, when she was very little, about 3 years old, she accidentally killed a parakeet. She was playing with it, and her parents raised parakeets, and she was trying to get the race to run across the floor, and she accidentally killed it. But the parakeet is hanging out with her and enjoying life, and just being the parakeet, and didn't know one way or the other had passed.
Okay.
But yes, she said I could not have possibly known. I knew nothing about that. And her husband actually hung around me, and I saw him in a dream, appear to me in a dream as when he was about 18 or 19 years old, and he was very good looking. And then he just disappeared. I'm like, if this is really you, can you validate your presence? And he did. So what he did, and my father get out of the shower, and he usually has his deodorant and razor in the bottom left drawer. And he looked at the drawer, he wasn't finding it in there. And then he looked up, and everything was on the sink, deodorant. Mm-hmm. And the razor, the blue razor, when this blue disposable razor was standing up by itself on the sink.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
They're still standing up by themselves.
No, they don't.
Standing up on the sink by itself. And he also had a suction cup, which is a tool that he uses for his golf. He stuck in his golf bag that he put all your golf tray in there and things mm-hmm. like that. And he usually keeps it attached to the golf bag. And he was looking for it, can't find it anywhere. He's going to go golfing anyway. And somebody had already put it in the truck for him right where he usually puts it.
That's incredible. This is such a cool painting. And, you know, I have to think then, and we're going to go to break here in a second, but the parakeet, I mean, that must have been on Barbara's mind her whole life. And sorry to psychoanalyze you, Barbara, but, you know, in my mind, it feels like that someone, whether the parakeet, her husband, her spirit guide, wanted to let her know, hey, it's doing just fine. It's having a great life. Why don't we go ahead? Let's go ahead and do more of these, but I want to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at more pictures. We're going to get more questions to Angela. We're rapidly running out of time, so don't worry. We're going to have her back. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And we have an interesting week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bach, and I hope that you take the time and join in all this week, because we have some fun programs. They're not even fun. They're just really good programs. I mean, we start off strong this week with Angela, but tomorrow we're going to do a repeat, and we're going to rerun that episode with Robert Robinson talking about Bigfoot and the sounds that they make. And that's important because Wednesday we're going to have back on Ernie Pack. And normally when we have Ernie on, we kind of joke around and have fun, but we're going to be a little bit more serious on Wednesday because we're going to be talking about Bigfoot as a trans-dimensional figure. We were able to have Robert on to talk about how, you know, he thinks of Bigfoot as, you know, my mind is no different than a deer or something like that, an animal in the forest. But we want to talk about Bigfoot as a lot more and a much more bigger presence in our existence, quite honestly. Thursday, I'm going to have on Bishop Christina Rake, and we're going to be talking, since it's coming out Friday, The Exorcist Believer, we're going to have her on, and she's going to be talking about the real case in St. Louis that happened in the 40s. I also want to ask her about some of the stuff that happened in the original film. Has she ever seen anything like that on any of the exorcisms or heard from her peers? And, of course, Friday will be casual Friday, as it always is. So we have a lot of interesting stuff coming up. But we are talking with Angela Boley, and we're talking about psychic portraits. I mean, we're barely getting through anything, but we're getting through a lot, if that makes sense, Angela, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We're talking about a lot of stuff, and this is stuff that you have to take your time to go through, because it's important to do so. Linda had a question that I want to put up here real fast. I just saw this. Linda wanted to know, did I get the picture of the three amigos?
And she's talking about, there's a picture, a painting I did of her spirit guides. There were three of them, and one was with the motorcycle, and one was holding a gun, and then one was in a cowboy hat, and I don't think I sent that to you.
I don't think I see that here, but, I mean, it sounds incredible. I mean, it's just...
it was quite a while back when I first started with the remote viewing with unexplained cases.
Okay.
And I sent that. That painting is still floating around out there. I mean, she has it. I'd have to go way, way back in my artwork to send it to you. But it's they're kind of in a fog, and they're kind of standing in the mist. And these were her spirit guides.
Yeah.
She has a lot of male spirit guides with her, and one was a gunsmith from the early 20th century, like the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a cowboy, and then the most recent one was a biker, and they're all standing behind his biker, and it's the bike is a Harley, and it's not a chopper, but it's the kind that it's got the really long, tall handlebars, and you have to put your hands up to hold on to the handlebars.
Oh yeah.
And it's custom.
Yeah.
With the custom seat, yeah, and everything. And it looks like it's kind of a cruiser type motorcycle. And I got Harley. I got all the details, all the mechanical details of the motorcycle in the painting as well.
That's pretty badass. Mine would probably be a bunny eating a carrot. So, you know, it's just like rolling around in grass or something, you know. That's Well, we know you did the bear. You did the bear. So mm-hmm. I want to put up another picture, if I may. And forgive me if I'm going a little, I don't want to say dark, but the ones that are interesting me the most are the ones that are very unique. I want to put this up. I don't even know how to describe this, honestly.
It's a horse. It's okay. A black horse on a black background. There's a moon above, and there's a lightning bolt, and it's wrapped around the horse. And this is a message to the person who was very hesitant about pursuing their passion, and they just very reserved, very afraid, very timid. And this horse was this person's spirit guide and was reminding them that they need to strike out and move with boldness towards their passion in their life. Hence the lightning bolt, which is inspiration, and the moon, which is the feminine, which is the creative, the divine energies of the feminine, mm-hmm. and the horse also being also embodying that as well. And with the lightning bolt, you also see that in the rune Soilo as well, which is a representation of the lightning bolt. And here it's combined. You have like the horse, the motion, then the inspiration, and it's the passion, is that passion of that running horse, running forward, running with passion, and striving out without fear and keeping going. And then with the darkness, the dark side, this is a shadow horse. And I believe this one was actually connected to magical practices also, and this person's ancestry along their bloodline is too, with this horse. So if I remember correctly, this horse served this family for generations, first in body and then in spirit, and helped in raids on the Badlands in England when the raiders would crisscross the borders and would do raids on lands, and her family was out fighting those raiders to protect their lands. And they had to have very strong, aggressive horses that were fearless to be running around in the dark, you know, fighting back.
This style is different than anything else we have shown so far. It's a very different artistic style. It's super, super cool. Would you agree with that, or do you think that it's very much your style? I mean, what?
It's not my style. It's very, very cool. I agree with it. Very, very cool. But it's energy. It's just, I literally channeled the drawing. I had no idea what I was painting.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just, I mean, because there's so... There, it's hard in a little way because it's the color, it's all a little bit darker, but it's funny because it's not a dark message at all. It's actually a very positive message, isn't it?
Yes, very positive and very powerful. Absolutely. And the first thing that I painted was the lightning bolt, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm painting or what this is going to turn out to be. And then it just led to, I just channeled it. Just like automatic writing, and it just came through, and this horse came through, and you could feel the passion and the strength and the courage of this horse coming through.
It's beautiful.
It's incredible.
It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, Joshua had asked the question earlier, and it's something I wanted to ask too, was when you're doing these, do any of these scare you, like the end results?
The end results don't scare me. Some of them I find quite disturbing. Like my most recent painting that I'm still working on. I sent you the top half of it, and then I'm working on the bottom half. That was related to my World War I past life.
Yeah.
And that one I found incredibly disturbing because, that space they were taking into where the spirit that approached me was the spirit of a man who took me as a POW in World War I, and who shot 39 of my countrymen that he took prisoner when I was in the British Army. And he told me that we're going to work on this painting together. The purpose of the painting is to help all these World War I German soldiers that are stuck, that are now stuck in some kind of purgatory. It's really a consensus reality where for them the war has not ended. They're still fighting. They're real struggling with their emotions and their trauma, living out World War I. And he planned this painting. He had me do a practice painting. And then he had me do the actual painting. And the painting has been manifesting paranormal phenomenon, and I'm not even finished with it. And there's the unfinished one, but I think I just send you one with this, the top half of it, so you get a little close look detail.
Yeah.
On the most recent one, where you see that there's a kind of half-devoured corpse in the middle there of the trench. There's another skeletal officer. You can see his bones sticking out, and he's got the what they called the Pickelhaube helmet, which is what the Germans wore at the time. Mm-hmm. And you see a horse kind of stuck in the mud. You see the skull in the sky, and you see sort of the Baphomet. But instead of the Baphomet being a goat, it's a mule, because so many mules died in World War I. probably more mules than men. And he wanted me to include that. And I found that it's so disturbing that I had nightmares for like 6 nights in a row. And they weren't scary nightmares. It was just, I wasn't afraid. It was just the imagery was so disturbing to me, because in those nightmares, they were completely silent. And I was just seeing men, skeletal figures, charging up out of these trenches and running towards me. But I did have an actual entity visit me from that reality here.
Yeah.
And with Gruber, his name was Officer Josef Gruber, who came to me. He came with a reading with somebody, and he was determined to get to me, and he said that this was a curse on the German people, particularly World War One. Even though the Germans didn't start it, it was Russia who declared war initially in World War One. Mm-hmm. The Germans were the first to use chemical weapons. And he said that this put a curse on all the German people, and then that by painting this painting and helping all these Germans cross over, it would help lift this curse. So when I got to the stage about to where I was now, and I was talking to Gruber, and we would have conversations, and we would validate the conversations through the S-Box. Since there aren't any German language radio stations, he would actually speak in German. I asked him, how many men did you captured in World War One under your command? And he said, Wilsig. Wilsig is German for 40. He said a number of German words. He said Mutig, which is brave in German. He talked about the suffering. And I got him to the point where we got close enough that I asked him to express his sense of humor, and I got him to laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
So one night I had done with the painting. I was about to go to bed, and then I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning again, couldn't sleep, but I was wide awake, and I heard this voice come out of the painting, and it was his voice. And he said, "Hello, Jean." And in German, it's like howdy or howdy there. It's a very humorous way to say hello.
Very casual, but yeah.
I said, "Hello, Chin," loud and clear. It was loud enough that I had my fan running. You could hear it over the fan. You could hear his voice. And as I was doing the painting, I actually would reach out to that realm and leave my body and go to that realm, go to that purgatory, mm-hmm. and try to help these men. So I did like this flyover, and I see this very big German in the trenches. He's so tall, his head and shoulder sticks out of the trench.
Oh, wow.
I thought he's about 7'3", is what I would put him at, given the average height, average depth of the trench, and the height of the average German soldier. And he looked straight up at me, and I don't care how you think of skeletons, but when that skeleton is alive and it has a consciousness and it's looking up at you with just empty sockets and staring right at you in the eyes, that gives you the worst feeling in the world.
I can't imagine. Now, Angela, I only have about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, so that painting helped set them free?
Yes. So that the German soldier I told you about, actually, I was in meditation, and when I just opened my eyes, his face was against my face, and it was in my real world in the here and now. He came back with me, and he said in my face, "Rescue us." And wow. It was an order.
I like that, because it would be, right, wouldn't it?
Rescue us. Yeah, rescue so I us. Actually went back to the trenches. And what I did, I appeared as an angel. And I ordered artillery of love to come down from heaven. And so all of this artillery was made out of love and healing and light. And every time it landed, each German soldier would be as he was before he went into war. He was whole. He was complete. And while they were experiencing that wholeness, and they were looking down and gazing in wonder at their completeness again, and seeing flesh and bones again, and seeing as they were, I had opened the doorway to heaven, and I asked all the men I'd already crossed over to stand there behind me, and I said in German, very loudly, and my voice thundered through the battlefield, "Marsch." It just means German for march.
Wow.
And they marched over to heaven. And every one of them was thanking me, and they were shaking my hands, and they were hugging me, and some kissed me, and it was a wonderful experience for them.
And anyone who wants to see more of your work can go to your Facebook page, Angela Bulley, Psychic Portrait Artist, right?
That's right.
We got to call it a night here. Angela, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great night.